Good time off?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Turn your book to chapter 11 if you want to follow the lesson. The measure of obeying authority. I'm going to try and get as far as I can. I don't know if I'm going to cover everything in that particular chapter. But the reason I want to go with this chapter is sometimes you need to know when to obey and when not to obey authority. Because we don't want to teach a one-sided lesson when it comes to understanding authority. I heard the apostle say something in his class, the government would like to run the church. And so we know that's not God's order. And that's some of the places we're going to touch in our lesson, when not to obey. But I got to keep bringing these definitions before you to keep us understanding what we are trying to accomplish in these classes. So I know you probably got several definitions of submission, several definitions of obedience, but I want to keep it before you, keep it fresh, so you can distinguish when it comes to understanding this lesson in its fullness or the fruition, so we can take this lesson home and become applicable to us in our daily life, in the church, in the home, in our workplace, just how to function with authority, because it can be abused if you don't understand it properly. You can be misused if it's not understood properly. And sometimes you can yield ignorantly, obey ignorantly, when sometimes you're not ought to. Just like a wife submitting to a husband that beats her all the time. I mean, that's not God's intention. So you got to know when and when not, all right? Here's the definition of submission again. It might be a little bit different every time I give it, but it's pretty much saying the same thing. I change it a little bit so we can get more understanding of what we are trying to accomplish. Submission is an act of submitting to the authority or control of another. The act of submitting to the authority or control of another. And sometimes we don't like that word control, but it's not a bad word with revelation. But without revelation, it can be a not so good of a term, because there is a control that people would like to use upon you. But in the spiritual realm, you want to be controlled. If you got a spiritual leader that in line with what God's saying, control me. What do you mean control? What control mean? Control mean give. When you're driving a vehicle, you want to maintain what? Control. So when my apostle is driving, not so much driving or directing us, I want him to help do some sort of steering and controlling my life. I want him to be able to say to me what God's saying. Amen. And be controlled by God. Now, see, that's a little bit better, because I don't mind being controlled by God. Amen. But you don't want to be controlled by men. Right. It's okay to be controlled by men that controlled by God. Am I making sense?
Yes,
because I don't want to get you confused. Because the word control can be overbearing if someone is misusing authority. I just don't want to be misused and be ignorant in authority when it comes to being submitting and being obedient. Because there's always, you get out of one ditch, like apostles always say, and go into another ditch. And you don't want to be ignorant when it comes to spiritual things, all right? So submitting is an act of submitting to the authority or control of another, to yield oneself to the control or the will of another. Here's another word, surrender. That's very good definition of submitting. Obedience means to follow the command or guidance of, number two, to conform or comply with, or to obey an order. Can you say that one more time? Mm-hmm. Obedience is to follow the commands or guidance of a person, government, leader. I'm just adding these words in there. And the second definition is to conform to or comply with or obey an order. Now, all these things are fine within its proper perspective. I mean, we want to be under the command of another. We want to follow the commands and the guidance and obey the order. That's God's will for us. But in return, it can be abused. And I don't want to just teach one side of authority, but there's two sides of this coin. And we want to be properly instructed. Isn't that fair?
Yes.
To show you both sides of this coin? So, now listen at this now, because you got to listen closely, because it's almost sound like I'm saying the same thing, but I'm not. Submission is a matter of attitude, while obedience is a matter of conduct. Now, that's going to be clarified a little bit better as we go on. Submission is a matter of attitude. Now, this statement here is going to take us home, meaning this statement here is going to bring all the understanding that I'm trying to project tonight when it comes to obeying or disobeying authority. Remember, an attitude of the heart. Submission is an attitude. So I said about a few weeks ago that you can be obedient in action, but rebellious in heart. Because we said obedience can sometimes be an action, but submission is an attitude of the heart. Now, the world is different, but they also can be put together. Now, let me read or go on a little bit further. Some authorities must be obeyed while others should not be, especially in matters which touch upon Christian fundamentals. That's what we believe the Bible said. This is when we come to what God is saying in the Word, that's the drawing line that separates obedience from disobedience. Or obedience, not obeying, but not being rebellious. Boy, am I talking two ways? No. You can be not obedient and yet not rebellious. Now watch as we go along. When delegate authority, which are men who represent God's authority, and direct authority, which is God himself, are in conflict, one can render submission but not obedience to the delegate authority. When delegate authority in conflict with what God said. Now, you might experience that on the job, might experience that at home, might experience that within the church. Should delegate authority issue an order clearly contradicting God's command, he will be given submission but not obedience. Can you see that? We're going to make it a little plain as we go. We should submit to the person who has received delegated authority from God, but we should also disobey the order which offends God. Sometimes some things are given that you can't comply with. I know I worked on a secular job for a few years, and I had a supervisor asked me to do some things contrary to what my Christian fundamental was. And I had to rightly disobey him. I said, boss, I'm submitted to you as far as I can, but I can't do that. And was I rebellious? No, I wasn't rebellious. I was still submitted, but I couldn't do what he asked me to do because it just went against what my father said in the Word. And he understood it. And I was not a subject to subordination because I was within my rights as a Christian. And guess what? If there was something could be done legally, God was my defender. God always defends his children that obey him. God will not let you hang out. To hang out. God will not leave you hanging. God always deliver the ungodly out of temptation. You've read that scripture before, right? He always gives us a way out. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the faces, the scripture said. God always going to vindicate us. All right? So let's look at an example here, what we're talking about. Hebrews 11 and 23. Turn your Bible to Hebrews 11 and 23. And let's look at the first example. And this is going to sort of like kind of bring understanding when you look through the scriptures of its Bible or biblical examples of what happened here. Hebrews 11, verse 23. Look what it said. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's what? Commandment. They completely, Moses' mother completely disregarded the king's commandment. Now, that wasn't rebellion. That was obedience to God. But refusing to obey the government's orders. All right? Now, here's another example, and we're going to go further into it. Let's look at Exodus 1:17. Exodus 1:17. These are biblical principles that show us the difference between being obedient or not obeying, but still in submission. Exodus 1:17. Look what it said. But the midwife feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded, but saved the men child alive. You see it? They didn't obey the king, but they obeyed the will of God. I got another scripture for you. Daniel 3:17. Look what it says. We're talking about the three Hebrew boys. They refused to bow before the king's God. And they made it known to the king. In the 17th verse said, they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, notice they refused the king's order of bowing down to their God, but they submitted to the fire furnace. Can you see that? They were not in rebellious. They're just saying, we just can't obey you. And if you gonna punish us, so be it. I'll submit to your punishment, but God's going to deliver me. God always delivered the godly out of temptation. And that's the point I'm trying to bring. Don't be afraid to not submit or be obedient to ungodly instructions. Sometimes people fear their jobs. Sometimes people fear their husbands. Sometimes people fear government. And they submit to it, not knowing that their God is bigger than government, their God bigger than the employees and up on the job. And God is able to deliver us. Our God is bigger than anything that they can try to do against us. the Hebrew boys came out, not even smelling like smoke. I like what Apostle said, Daniel made the lion a pillow. Yes, I love that. And also Apostle said something tonight. God made the earthquake a way out. I never saw that before. He said, they wouldn't have prayed for an earthquake, would you? But God had a better way of delivering them. Peter and them submitted. They submitted themselves to the prison. They didn't resist the prison. But God delivered the ungodly out of ungodly temptation. Can you see it? Now I got another one for you. Go to Acts 5 and 29. This is the very one Apostle talked about tonight. I like the way these classes run and coordinate themselves, and everything connects. Thank God for the apostle and the apostolic. Amen. He don't want us to leave here ignorantly. Absolutely. In the school, in our personal life, or in our ministerial life. Acts 5 and 29. I'm not reading the whole thing, but just enough for understand. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, just know what they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. See, sometimes you get to a place where God overrules obedience. You see, I thought God was the God. Yeah, but God rule is always above men rule. Now let's go back to our lesson now. And we're going to clarify this some more. Here's this question I need to ask, and I'm going to answer it as we go. How can we judge whether a person is obedient to authority? How can we judge whether a person is obedient to authority? Here's some of the ways we can tell whether that's obedient. Number one, a person who has known authority will naturally try to find authority wherever he goes. The church is the place where obedience can be learned, since there's not really such a thing as obedience in the world system. Only Christians can obey, for they too must learn to obey, not outwardly, but from the heart. See, so obedience is not outwardly, obedience is inwardly. Matter of fact, Brother Nietzsche, it's an inward revelation. It's not something you're really taught. It's something that's really caught. Yet once this lesson of obedience has been learned, the Christian will look for it and find authority everywhere. And that's a fact. Something happens to you internally when you learn obedience, God's obedience. You turn into another man. You turn into another woman. You just can't do what you want to do no more. You just can't run your own life no more. But you always want to be submitted, because you know God is the one you're submitting to through others. And you dare not want to defy that. Mm-hmm. What? That's subjection to God. You remember Gamaliel? He said, be careful what you do with these men, because he has some wisdom. You might find yourself fighting against God. So when we have a tendency to want to be rebellious, and we think we're just obeying a man and don't see the God through the man, you might find yourself fighting against God. And who in here in their right mind want to fight against God? Nobody in the right mind. Nobody in the right mind. If you got any good sense, you don't want to fight against God. And guess what? You're not going to win. You can try, but you're not going to win. God is the supreme being. He always right. Number three, a person who has truly met authority never likes to be in authority. So if you see someone always want to be in charge, you be careful, because they haven't learned authority yet. Authority is a very, very, very high maintenance job, because you got so much responsibility. And there's so much accountability that's expected out of you. And you got the answer to everything. Authority. See, when an apostle has to answer to God. And so he's very careful, you know, the way he does things and the way he says things. And I watch how he takes his time listening to the Holy Ghost when he's saying something. Even when he's making correction. I watch the wisdom of God in his words, in his action. And it always come out right. It always come out right. You know why? Because he spends so much time with the Father. You know, I think when a person spends much time with God, and you walk in spirit as much as you can, God won't let you error. He won't let you error. Amen. Are we not, are we not able to not err? No, I didn't say that. But God'll cover you. That's the word. God'll cover you. Even if you make a mistake, God'll cover you and make it right. Yeah. When a person's heart's right. That was number three. Mm-hmm. He does not take delight in giving counsel. Nor does he take pleasure in controlling others. The truly obedient is always in fear of making an error. My goodness. That's an awesome fear about it. Because you know, it's not just you. You got people's lives on the line. People's lives, people's families. You might have a generation on the line that God holding you responsible for. It's a heavy, heavy, heavy. People want to be in authority, but they don't know what the responsibility are. Because they never met authority. And they never really submitted to authority. And so they don't understand the severity and the responsibility that's upon them. Number four, a person who has contacted authority, listen to this one now. I don't know if you see it in your book. He does what? Keep his mouth shut. Not always quick to speak. Not always opinionated. You find a person always opinionated, always got an idea. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. Be careful. Because they never met authority. And sooner or later, they're going to say something that's going to disregard God and disregard authority. And they're going to abuse themselves. Yes, they will. Just do will. Be slow to speak, James say. Quick to hear. Listen to this now. He's under restraint. He keeps himself under restraint. Keep herself under restraint. Yeah, I mean, you might have 1,000 words want to come out of your mouth. But the Holy Ghost catch a hold of you. And say, be still. Just be quiet. They don't have to know everything you know. You might be right, but just be quiet right now. And sometimes that's a virtue. Yeah. You don't always have to speak. And one man said, a fool tell you everything he know. And that's all he know. And that's it. But a wise man, you'll never know everything he knows, because he doesn't say everything he knows. Isn't that something? Be wise. Be slow to speak. Especially after you learn authority, these characteristics, they take you over. Isn't that something? Certain lessons you learn, it you become it. I don't know how to explain that any better. It becomes you. You become that lesson. And you begin to walk in it naturally without any effort. And it become a part of you and become your nature. It don't mean you were always like that, but you become conformed and transformed to certain things. You know, people think sometimes certain people always was quiet. No, God dealt with them. They might be one of the most talkative, opinionated person alive, but God dealt with them and humbled them and made them what they ought to be. Right. See, that's something you ought to be. And some people still working on what they ought to be. Yeah, a lot of us still working with God. I know I am. Still some things I ought to be. And God's working on me. But let him have his way.
Absolutely.
And work those things out of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God want to bring us to a place of maturity. Yeah, a place of maturity that we can be a model for him. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He's under restraint. He dare not speak carelessly because there is in him a sense of authority. Authority is always around him. And I tell you what. See, you're going to tell me? Yeah, I'm going to tell you a little bit. I've been around apostles so much. You know, I work in the ministry for some years. And I know how he likes things. You learn what he likes and what he doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And Miss Carolyn. Miss Carolyn is a very person with an excellent spirit. Mm-hmm. And you learn to take upon those characteristics and you try to do things in an excellent manner. Mm-hmm. And you get to a place where you begin to function like they're always over you. You can be by yourself, but I can hear Miss Carolyn's voice. I can hear Apostle's voice. You know, I'm always under that authority. Like I'm always under their supervision, even when they're not there. So I learned to work accordingly, and that sixth sense. That sixth sense kick in, and say that's not the way to do that. That's not what they want because I'm always under that restraint. You see, it makes life easier. But at the same time, it keeps me focused on just what they're looking for. And I become it. I don't know if I'm trying to explain that. I want to become what they're looking for. I want to produce what they're desiring. I want to take their vision and bring it out to pass. I'm trying to make this thing plain. I want to take the imprint that's on their heart and bring it into manifestation. And I see that, and sometimes I don't always get it like I want to, but I'm shooting for that. You know, I might not hit the mark all the time, but my aim is to bring that mark of excellence there. Sometimes I got to do it over 2 or 3 times, but it don't bother me to go back and do it again because I'm shooting for that mark, that desire that they have in their heart, and I'm shooting to bring it to pass. And that's because I'm always under that authority all the time. I'm always know that even with nobody's over me, somebody's over me.
Yeah.
It makes sense?
Yes, sir.
And you want to build that on any job, and not just the spiritual realm, not just working the ministry. You want to see what they see. Mm-hmm. And if you can get people to understand that and not just do things just to get by. Most people do things just enough to get by, to make those 8 hours or whatever you're doing on the job, and just to get the day done because I don't like what I'm doing anyway. If you don't like what you're doing, you're going to keep doing it until God says you're going to do it right. God says, I can't promote you until you do the doggone thing right. If you're not excellent here, you're not going to be excellent there.
Right.
Amen. I didn't mean to say all that, but it's true anyway. Number 5, a person who has touch authority is sensitive to each act of lawlessness and rebellion. He sees how the principle of lawlessness have filled the earth and even the church. Only those who have experienced authority can lead others into obedience. Isn't that a true statement?
Yes, sir.
Only those that have experienced authority can lead others into obedience. And so you become that model. You become that example to others how these things should be done. Just like a father. fathers become models to their children, to a son that wanna do things the right way. He models after his father. See, I'm talking about a good father that took care of the house and took care of the family. And most good fathers copied from their fathers. Just like we got a father, a spiritual father. And just like those that are submitted to apostles, they have an example that and a model that they can pull from and shoot for that same excellence. Yeah. But they only can do that after they've learned authority. And knowing that apostle is just not trying to control, or he's trying to bring every person in LTMA to a level of excellence in the ministry. And sometimes you got to cut a sculpture, when he first starts sculpturing, he got to take it all by the chunks. Yeah. If you're making out of wood, I've seen those ice sculptures. They might start off with a chainsaw, cutting away. See, sometimes people don't like the chainsaw because you're cutting too much off me at one time. But finally, you get to the place where you got a little small knife. And you're just scraping the ice and doing the details. Finally, you get to the place you don't need too much chopping. Finally, it's just like the old radios we used to listen to, you know, or the antenna. We used to watch the fights. My dad used to watch the fights. I was a little bit of a boy. And we had to go turn. Anybody ever turn the antenna? A little bit more. Okay, hold it right there. Yeah, well, you had with three stages, 2, 6, and 8 or something like that. And I had to go turn the antenna. And then sometimes your hand ground the antenna. Don't turn it loose. Hold it. So I'm outside the window holding the antenna while they watch TV. If I let it go, it didn't grow. What I'm saying is sometimes it's just a little adjustment after you've been learning obedience. You don't take much. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you might get cut kind of deep right now. Yeah, you might bleed a little bit when the apostle say his thing. But he's trying to get us somewhere that we never been before. It don't feel good to be corrected. It don't feel good. But I tell you what, after a while, you thank God for it. It making you what you what? I like that scripture in Peter. It makes you what you ought to be. There are some things we ought to be that we're not being yet. I'm talking to all of us. Yeah. But it takes some cutting and molding. For some things you don't even know about yet. That's some cutting that God's doing for you that you don't know why he's cutting you yet. He cut you for something around the corner you ain't got to yet. That he know you're going to be. God knows where you're going to be the next 5 years from now. And he's cutting for some of that. He's cutting for 5 years down the road. Because you're going to experience it one of these days. But he's trying to prepare us for longevity. I had a man I was talking to. And he was so anxious for ministry. Oh, he wanted to pastor real bad. And he asked me, he told me, but the Lord gave me a word for him. The Lord told me, tell him, long preparation. Some people don't like long preparation. They get tired waiting. He said, Lord, when you going to use me? He said, long preparation. He said, Lord, I'm 60 years old now. What that got to do with that? Long preparation, God said, told me to tell him, long ministry. I didn't understand what I was telling them. Long preparation, long ministry. He got anxious and he died ahead of time. Because he wouldn't take the long preparation. And he cut his ministry short. You can't get ahead of God. You get ahead of God, you get in error. And then you're on your own then. Amen. All right, and look at some other thing now. A person who has touched authority is sensitive to each act of lawlessness and rebellion around him. He sees how the principle of lawlessness has filled the earth and even the church. Only those who have experienced authority can lead others to obedience. That's why I stopped that. Brothers and sisters must learn to obey authority. Otherwise, the church would not have any testimony on the earth. My goodness. My goodness. Now let me read these examples right quick in the Bible of why you can be in submission but not necessarily obedient, but still considered in God's eyes submission. All right? Here's the first one. I ran over some of them. The midwife and Moses' mother both disobeyed the decree of Pharaoh by preserving Moses alive, yet they were considered to be women of faith. You see that? God didn't call them rebellious. The three friends of Daniel refused to bow down to the golden image set up by King Nebuchadnezzar. They disobeyed the king's order, yet they submitted to the king's fire. Boy, isn't that good? They disobeyed the king's order by not bowing down to the king's handmade God, but yet they were not considered rebellious because they submitted to the king's fire. And God was so pleased, they tell me the king was looking in the fire. He said, didn't we throw three men in there? He said, I see four men walking in there, and the fourth one looked like the Son of God. Oh, my goodness. When you do that, the fourth man show up. Yeah. Whenever you stand up for God to do what's right, even when you're ordered to do something that against your God, the fourth man show up to deliver us. Always deliver us. Always deliver us. Now, in disregard of the royal decree, Daniel prayed to God. You see, he would get in his window, open his window up, and get on his knees and pray, despite what the people saw or what they're saying. And look what happened. Nevertheless, he submitted to the king's judgment by being thrown into the lion's den. You see, Daniel didn't mind going to the lion's den because he knew God was going to deliver him. You see it? So why are we so fearful sometimes? And we go along with the status quo. We do sometimes. We act like there's no difference between Christians and those we work with. We just follow everybody else. And we just go down the same line. Don't know our God is bigger than them. Yeah, we subject ourselves to the same rules and same regulation, knowing that if we're going against what God wants. Oh, no, I need my job, baby. I need my job. I can't afford to lose my job. Well, how big is your God? Sometimes God wants to get you out of that rat hole and take you somewhere else you need to go. No, I can't sit and I'm just keep my mouth shut because I got to keep my job. Yeah, keep your job. As long as you're following God, God always promotes you. God never demotes. God always promotes. Joseph took the Lord Jesus and fled to Egypt to avoid having the child killed by the King Herod. And lastly, I'm closing with this one. Peter preached the gospel, though it was against the commandment of the ruling council, for he said it was right to obey God rather than men. Yet he allowed himself to be taken into prison. And then you know what happened. You know the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story. God delivered them out of prison. Yes. And they were praying for him in the house. Peter knocked on the door. And they thought it was an angel. Sometimes we wonder, is God able? Sometimes we pray and still wonder, is God, you deliver me or not? And God been delivering you and you're still praying and hoping. Amen. At the far we're going to go, but I hope you see what we were trying to say tonight. Amen?
Amen.
All right, class is ended. Go in peace.